Hi guys, this is Ryan Light with BeatAnxiety.me, your host, where we will be going over the struggles of anxiety and learning how to heal the underlying causes. Hey guys, how you doing? In this episode, we're going to be going over the feelings of inadequacy and things that we can do to overcome those feelings of inadequacy. Let's get right into it. Hey guys, how you doing? This is Ryan Light from BeatAnxiety.me, and I really wanted to get into a topic I've struggled with myself with, especially over the last, really, to be honest, pretty much my whole life, but really over the last 5 to 10 years, I've been really having this unrelenting feeling of just being inadequate. Being inadequate in my work, being inadequate as a coach, being inadequate as a father, being inadequate as a husband, as a friend, as a mentor. The list goes on and on and on. And as I dug deeper into this inadequate feeling that I have, I discovered that a lot of these emotions and feelings that we do struggle with, they have deeper seated roots. So what do I mean by that? I mean, a lot of the struggle that we have as adults, young adults, and even later in life, like I am, some might even call me quote unquote old. I'm in my late 40s. I'll be 48 this coming Friday on the 6th. So, man, that's so hard for me to say, to be honest with you. I can't even believe I'm saying it, but life does go on and we do get older. So, when you get to an age, it was funny, like in my 20s, I struggled with this inadequate feeling as well, but it was really around school. It was really around, I didn't have the proper education. I didn't go to college. I'm not college material. I went to a technical school. I was in the Army. And I pretty much joined the Army to get away from the situation I was in at home. I hated where I grew up, who I grew up with, my family, so to say. And I wanted to get out of there as much as possible. And the Army was a way for me to get away from that, that mess. Anyway, in my 20s, it was really around school. It wasn't so much about who I was, but really my education. You know, when you get out of, when you're in your 20s, you're trying to build a career, you're trying to figure out yourself, you're trying to figure out, you know, what you can do in life, what you can't do, what career you want to take. Do you want to go down this career path or that career path? And careers are so pushed on us, especially in my 20s. This was back in the early 90s, mid-90s, if that also dates me. But careers were pushed. Education was pushed. I think education's pushed more now probably than it was back then. But having said that, in my 20s was more about who liked me, who didn't like me, my education, those types of things. And as I got older, built a career, now really building a coaching practice around anxiety and mental health and depression and those types of things, the change of inadequacy is changing, right? So much, not so much education per se, though I do struggle with that. Part of my story is I grew up in special ed. I was in special education. They put me in special ed in sixth grade. And what they didn't realize when they did that was the reason why I was acting out in school was not so much because I wasn't intelligent, but it was so much behavior issues, and my behavioral issues was due to what was going on at home. And so if they would have asked different questions and looked in the four walls rather than what I was doing in school and how I was acting out, they would have figured out that maybe this kid isn't as stupid as we think he is. Not to say that kids in special education are stupid, but that's how they treated me. Not so much that I was stupid, so to say, but if they would have looked at my home life, they would have determined that my behavioral issues was due to the fact that there was issues at home. So anyway, you know, I grew up in special ed. I was in special education, and this was back in the day when they didn't integrate special ed into mainstream students. So I had my little homeroom that had six or seven people in it, and I had my little classes that had, I think, a max of maybe 10 people in it. And to be honest with you, I remember being bored. I remember being so smart that I gave up. I'm like, this is stupid. Why am I even in this class? Because I know the material, and I just didn't want to do the material because I was acting out based on what was going on at home. To be honest with you, that hurt me later on in life. That really messing up in high school and not really doing the work and, you know, just bypassing things and letting things slide and, you know, using my quote unquote suave to graduate. It really hurt me later in life, to the point where even today, if I write a blog post, when I do a post, when I speak, when I'm doing this podcast, I'm constantly in this frame of mind of questioning myself. Like, am I mumbling? Do I say too much? Do I say too much? Am I missing words when I post something? When I write a blog, does it sound intelligent? Does it sound like, you know, does it sound like it actually means something? Those types. So you can see me doing this now as I'm doing this podcast, I'm constantly in the back of my mind questioning myself, is what I'm saying right? I'm constantly, the feeling of inadequacy is always the underlying issues. And a lot of this comes from, I believe, how the world treated us as a younger age. For me, growing up and with toxic family members, alcoholism was throughout my family. My mother and stepfather and my father were alcoholics. My brother turned into an alcoholic. My sister turned into a drug addict. And if they listen to this podcast, you know that is true. And don't Facebook me saying it wasn't, because you know that is the truth. And me, what I did is I took out my frustration. I drank. Don't get me wrong. I was a drinker in my 20s. I used to quote unquote party. Never did drugs. Never smoked a pot. Never smoked a joint. Never smoked cigarettes. Didn't vape. I did drink. Drank more for occasions, although that was one of my unhealthy coping mechanisms. Later in my 20s, I started drinking more to cope rather than have fun. But I think these feelings of inadequacy and these feelings of not being worth, you know, our self-worth and those types of things is really coming from a place of misunderstanding of who we are. I think the key to this, and for me as I started to really heal in this area, is really to come to an understanding that what I do is not who I am. Right? So, or what you do is not who you are. Meaning that, you know, if I mumble, that's something I do. That's not who I am. If I miss a word when I post something, that's not who I am based on what I do, what I was doing. Right? So I was really basing my who I am on what I do. And that's not how our self-worth is really should be founded. That's a misconception or a misunderstanding of self-worth. Self-worth is something that I have found that's greater than me. It's really what I found. Now, most of you know this. I don't know this, but I am a Christian. I became a Christian in my late 20s. And having a Christian perspective of having a faith that has helped me kind of discover that I am precious. I am beautiful. I was created for a reason. That doesn't mean these things don't come at me, right? It's not like I don't struggle with these things. I do struggle with the feelings of inadequacy that kind of filters into self-worth. But what I do is I start to catch myself and I start to question those things in which those feelings and emotions that are lying to me, specifically around the feelings of inadequacy. So what I do is I take a step back. I start to question that feeling. And then I go and do the very thing in which my thoughts or emotions or slash feelings are telling me not to do or telling me to do. Let me give you an example. So let's say I have a feeling, I'm having these overwhelming feelings of inadequacy. Like, you don't know what you're doing. You know, you're worthless. You're a liar. You're a fraud. You put the mask on, those types of things, the imposter kind of syndrome. What I'll go do is I'll go write a post. I'll go do a blog. I'll get on podcast and do a podcast. I'll make sure I have coaching clients that I'm working with, those types of things. Because when you do these types of actions, what happens is it overrides those feelings of inadequacy or self-worth. When we do the things in which our thoughts and our emotions are telling us to do or telling us not to do, we are proving to ourselves how much we are worthy, right? And how adequate we are. It's when we allow those emotions and thoughts to dictate our life and we run from them, ignore them, try to put them, under the carpet, sweep them under the carpet so no one knows. We put the mask on. We fake the smiles. We do those types of things. Though by doing those things, it only makes us feel more inadequate or not worthy enough, right? So if we want to overcome these things, we got to go do those things in which our thoughts and our feelings are telling us not to do. Now, I'm going to tell you this. If you've been following me at all, or you listen to any of my podcasts, or you're on my Facebook page, or follow me on Instagram, you've heard me say this before, that actions, or should I say feelings, always come after action. Let me give an example. I'm a runner. I like to run, though I haven't been running for a little while right now because I'm taking a little bit of a break. But I never really feel like running, to be honest with you. I never feel like running. But man, do I feel good after I run. Again, the feeling that I'm wanting doesn't come before the run. The feeling that I'm wanting or needing comes after the run, comes after the action. So you have to do the action to get the feeling. Now, that works with healthy coping, like exercise and working out and meditation and being mindful. That works in healthy coping, and it has the same effect, though, the feelings that we don't want in unhealthy coping. So take, for instance, let's say you binge eat, you use food to cope, or you use alcohol to cope, or you use sex to cope, whatever it might be, whatever unhealthy coping mechanism that might be, whether it's drugs, alcohol, sex, any type of pleasure that we're trying to seek to fill in that coping, the fill in that void that we're looking for, what that does is that action then thereby creates more of the feeling that you don't want, that inadequate feeling, that unworthy feeling. It exasperates that feeling because guilt sets in. As guilt sets in, you want to cope. Our habit is unhealthy, so we go do the very thing thinking that pleasure will fill us up for a little while. We binge eat, we get drunk, we smoke too much pot, we take too much drugs, we have sex with multiple partners, whatever it might be, because we're trying to fill that void. And as we are doing that, that is then thereby the feeling that you're going to get based off of that action is the same feeling that you're trying to overcome. See how this thing works? You see the cycle? And then you start that cycle. You start going down that cycle looking for something else to fill the void because the void's getting bigger and deeper. So you do more unhealthy coping. You have the same type of emotion. You try to fill it again because you're doing unhealthy coping mechanisms. So you have to discover for yourself healthy coping mechanisms like meditation, running, exercise, lifting weights, eating correctly, sleeping. These are all healthy mindfulness type stuff. These are all healthy coping mechanisms that you need to discover for yourself because, again, if you want that feeling of adequacy, worth, whatever that might be, those good feelings or those good emotions, you have to tell yourself through action that you are adequate, that you are worthy, that you are those things. And unfortunately, I wish there was a different answer for you, but that comes through action. And that action proves what you are thinking or what you're trying to believe about yourself. This is very, very hard concept to grasp, especially if you've been doing unhealthy coping mechanisms for a long time. It's a change of mindset. And when you start to change your mindset, you'll start doing those things in which you need to be doing to start healing yourself. And that's really what I have to do. I have to do this on a constant basis. Again, I want to make sure that you understand that this doesn't come from a place of I'm good, I'm healed. I constantly have these overwhelming thoughts and emotions of inadequacy, which again filters into self-worth. Again, hopefully through this podcast, you've learned at least some cool techniques or things that you need to do to get yourself out of that rut and start feeling those good feelings that you want to feel. So anyway, hopefully this podcast was helpful. If you have any questions and you want to reach out to me, you can find me out on my social channels. Beatanxiety.me is my website, Instagram, Facebook. Heck, I'm even on YouTube. So you can find me on Twitter at Real Run Ryan, actually. So follow me there, and I look forward to hearing from you. Thank you. Take care, guys. Thank you so much for listening to my podcast today. Make sure to follow me on all the social media channels like Twitter, Facebook, and Instagram at beatanxiety.me. And then also make sure to check out my website, beatanxiety.me, for some great content on how we can overcome and heal anxiety in our life. Thanks so much. Take care now. Till next time. Bye.